podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Newcastle Natter. My name is Fergus Craig and I'm joined by Paul Doolan.
Hello.
And Dave Watson.
What's up, bitches?
Oh, wow. Ooh. Wow, Dave. Is this the new you?
Oh, yeah.
You're a shock drinking jock, man, wine, Dave.
Yeah. Drinking wine, calling you bitches. Yeah.
Wow. Yes, you are drinking wine, white wine. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Lady Fields.
What grape is it? What grape, Dave?
It's a Sauvignon Blanc.
A Sauvignon Blanc, okay.
From Marlborough, Australia.
It's Marlborough's actually New Zealand. And that was actually a question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Did you win £1 million?
I was watching the other night. Genuinely was.
Really?
Yeah, the guy guessed Australia as well. Lost about $7,000. No, it's
I don't know where to go from there.
No, it's just true. I'm not being a dick about it. It's just you said something that was factually wrong, and I just felt like it was my responsibility to correct that.
Well, that must have been for that guy who got the question wrong. It must have been a disappointing loss, just like the Cambridge game.
Nice.
Oh, very good, very good. Do you want to be host now, Dave? Is that the way it is? I mean, last week you were trying to move us on to the next subject at a time of your choosing. Now you're doing the links.
Yeah.
Soon you'll be wanting my fee, my £800 fee for each episode.
That sounds believable. There is no fee, just to clarify.
Yeah, I know. I was looking for a figure.
Like, eight-figure fee would have been.
Yeah. Yes, our last game. Unfortunately, our players did receive a fee for that match. Our last game...
Couldn't let me have it, could you? You couldn't let me have it, could you?
Our last match was against the mighty Cambridge United. A third-round tie against lower league opposition. Unfortunately, that is the sort of game that our previous manager, Steve Bruce, was able to handle. But unfortunately... Eddie Howe wasn't, was he, Dave? You watched it, didn't you?
Yeah, on a stream that wasn't great. But I've seen a lot of people losing their minds over it, saying it was a disgrace and it was embarrassing, the most embarrassing performance in however long. I don't think it was like the first 60 minutes. We were all over them, and for the want of a striker, we would have been like two or three goals up. I think their keeper had an absolute world-class performance. They defended like lions, and their centre-forward really, really put our like makeshift centre-back partnership under pressure. I think they deserved the win, but some of the people, like one of the popular Twitter accounts was saying that we should reimburse the fans for what they had to sit through. I was like, fuck off. It was fine. Like we had 20 summit shots, 9 of them on target. And like I say, their keeper had to produce at least 2 top draw world-class saves to keep us out. So it was disappointing. It's an embarrassing result, but in terms of performance, we were all right.
Okay. Now do that again and pretend Steve Bruce was the manager.
So I actually knew that you'd bring that up.
No, I don't want to get into Steve Bruce.
No.
Sorry, I'm just winding you up.
Yeah. So no, the good things that I'll take from it is that Joe Linton had another good game. Kieran Trippier looked class, like class in a glass. He was a cut above everybody else on that pitch.
The thing is, and I think that this is the overwhelming drive behind the response to the game. It was against Cambridge United.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the context, isn't it? And it's against Cambridge United in a season where we've been doing terribly for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what seems to happen at the moment is the mood is pretty good. The mood will build in positivity through the week, and then we'll have a match. We'll have to play it. We'll have the unfortunate duty to play a football match, in which case the mood deteriorates again.
Everything's great at the minute, apart from football. Like, yes, everything's going really well at the club, and then football keeps getting in the way.
Yeah, you didn't watch the game, did you, Paul? But
no, only seen highlights. But I think as well, we've played worse against Premier League teams this and last season and picked up points. I think, like Dave said, it's just the lack of a striker. I don't think Dwight Gayle was available. But I don't know. I think it was a weird one. Part of me, if you're going to go out of the FA Cup in the third round, I sort of prefer it being a giant killing in a sold-out crowd. I mean, it was hard to feel totally bad when you saw how much it meant to the Cambridge fans, which is probably not a popular Newcastle view. But I'd rather that than a sort of extra-time defeat to Burnley or something like we had in the Carling Cup on penalties.
I managed to see bits of it. I think I saw about the last 10, 15 minutes of each half. I thought it was overwhelmingly just quite funny. I'm in a real minority of Newcastle fans on that count. I just find it quite funny. You know, we're the richest club in the world now, but we're utter shit. And, you know, we'll like build ourselves up about any player that we get connected with or signed. I mean, let me just say, Kieran Trippier, we don't know. We said last week, you don't know how it's going to go. There's no guarantees, but he is a really good signing.
He's probably our best player now. Immediately.
Yeah, you'd have to say so. Him or Saint-Maximin. Probably him, because he's, you know, more sort of result-orientated. But, you know, anyone we sign gets like really hyped up and the mood really lifts. But, you know, we're so far away from being a not embarrassing football team.
Yeah.
I think that could be a positive, though. I mean, the chairman was there on Saturday. I think if there were any thoughts behind the scenes that maybe we don't need to sign a striker, we can get through with Saint-Maximin up front, or maybe we can cobble together a defence of what we've currently got, feels like a fire might have been lit under them after watching that game.
Well, I should have previewed it at the beginning of the show, but as it stands at time of recording, Chris Wood, we're told, is on his way for a medical. I guess we'll talk about that after the break, you know, just to keep you listening. Anything else on Cambridge?
Has there ever been a more tantalising PR break than a man clearly underwhelmed talking about Chris Wood?
Sure, look, I'm underwhelmed by everything anymore now.
But all I was going to say is, like, yes, we're the richest club on the planet, but it's kind of like the gap between winning the lottery and getting the money in your account. Like, until we can start seeing the benefits of that cash, it might as well not exist. So signing Kieran Trippier for 12 million quid it's not like a wow transfer. You know, it's not like a signal that we've arrived or anything. It's a really good transfer and I'm impressed with him, but he isn't like a marquee signing. It's like being a lottery winner and not having the, you know, not having the flash car and the big house yet.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that could be said about the Cambridge game. Callum Wilson wasn't available. What happened to Dwight Gayle? It seems like we desperately needed a striker.
Well, he wasn't on the bench. You'd have to assume it's either injury or COVID.
Right. All hail Tika said, how can Dwight Gayle not get a game in this team? Any idea why he wasn't playing?
I'm pretty sure it's COVID.
If he was on the bench, that would say, yeah, there's something going on.
I think as well, it did feel like a selection mistake to play Saint-Maximin up front. I can understand in the Premier League not wanting to play, is it Stevenson? Our young striker.
Or Anderson.
No, not Anderson.
Oh, no, Dylan Stevenson, yeah.
Yeah, you can understand not wanting to play him against a Premier League team, but you would think against a League One side, a striker, even a kid, would be worth throwing in.
Yeah. That's what I think the thing is, because he did select a very strong side, you know, as much as it's possible to say that sentence with our squad. But from what we had available, he selected a strong side. And I think Eddie Howe looked at it like, well, our form is terrible. We need a win from somewhere. And I want to do everything I can to make sure that we get that morale boosting win against lower league opposition. And it just didn't work out. You know, I saw some people saying we should have brought on youth from the bench, because we did have Elliot Anderson, I think Joe White on the bench.
Mm-hmm. I think if you play Saint-Maximin up front on his own, you take away a striker who can actually get into those positions from the front line, and you remove Saint-Maximin from his strongest position. So you sort of, it's two negatives.
Yeah. I think what he could have done is have that pretty much the same lineup, but with Stevenson up front, or Anderson, or Joe White, whatever, have those, that one kid up front, and name a very strong side. Nobody would look at the squad and think, oh, he's jacked in the cup, he's not taking it seriously. And we could still take any momentum from a very strong side plus a kid winning at Cambridge.
Saint-Maximin, yes, is not a striker. That's definitely not his strongest position. And you know, I don't want to shit on a player who I've never seen play in Dylan Stevenson. But if you look at, I mean, Adam Armstrong aside, if you look at our players who've come up through the ranks in recent years, most of them have not turned out to be Football League players, really.
Ivan Toney. Adam Armstrong.
Sure, we bought him, right? You know, but
Mitrovic, who's now, well, the ones who've
I'm talking about players who came through our academy. I guess what I'm saying is, yes, we have a player called Dylan Stevenson who is officially a striker for our youth team, but that does not mean that he's a better striker than Saint-Maximin.
No, but I think...
not a striker.
But this is what we thought about Sean Longstaff and Matty Longstaff before they had to be thrown in. But see, it seems odd, any other position, if there's an injury crisis, you would select a player from that position to be in there. But for striker, for some reason, we don't seem to do that. It wasn't just Saint-Maximin, and we seemed to rotate the strikes. You had Murphy playing up front at times and Fraser up front, and there's... I think either of those three could work as part of a front two alongside a striker. I think that Saint-Maximin showed that against Man U, that he can work in that position. But playing them as a lone number nine seems a waste of all of it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You're probably right. I thought I'd give the counter. Let's have a break. There's not much more to say about Cambridge. Is there anyone else got anything to say about Cambridge? No. All right, well, we'll have a break and then we'll get into what is easily the most entertaining thing to talk about when it comes to Newcastle these days, and that is anything but the actual matches we are playing, and instead the imaginary matches we could be playing when we buy these imaginary players. We'll have a break and speak to you in a moment. Hello, welcome back to the Newcastle Natter. It's been pointed out to me that I was quite miserable in that first part. I think that's a completely fair point. I don't know why it was exactly. I don't think it was particularly to do with the football or the company. I just don't think I'd sufficiently... Usually, I do a few lines of coke before every record. And unfortunately, my dealer is self-isolating and... I was unable to arrange. No, I don't know why. I think it's maybe because I've been listening to Hilary Mantel's classic Wolf Hall.
But that's a laugh a page.
Well, yeah.
It's a romp.
I'm in quite a sort of somber 16th century mood. I'll tell you something else that's in a somber 16th century. No, we do actually have some, what some would term positive news. It has to be positive news, considering as the first half of the show proved, we have no recognised adult striker currently fit. It looks like we're signing Chris Wood for £20 million or thereabouts. Paul, thoughts?
I think it could be a very good signing. I suggested it on the WhatsApp group a couple of weeks ago as a joke because we were all talking about the sort of strikers we'd get. But actually, you look at... We've actually had quite a lot of crosses going into the box this season already. Look at like the number of chances players like Matt Ritchie have created, where there's just... like Wilson's quite good, but it feels like we've been lacking a different type of striker at times. And if there's a Premier League striker, 30, so not past his prime at all, who's got double figures for the last four seasons... for 20, the numbers make complete sense. He gets a goal every three games, basically.
Not this season. You got three goals this season.
Yeah, but this is so far this season as well.
Sure. No, you make a case. It is true that it does say something that our sort of expectations of fans, as fans, are, you'd have to say, becoming more realistic. I mean, there's a characterization out there that we all thought we were going to get Mbappe 3 months ago, and I don't think that was ever really true for 95% of Newcastle fans. But there's certainly some Newcastle fans who didn't go into this window hoping that we'd get Chris Wood. I mean, Paul, you were more excited about, I mean, Dave, you were more excited about Vlahovic. Is that how we say it?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. It's not. Yeah. I was more excited about Vlahovic, but then that was because, you know, he's a 60, 70 million pound rated striker who's tearing it up in the league at the minute, and he's on the young side and all those things that you know, could excite you. But the fact of the matter is that Chris Wood is an immediate solution to a problem that we've got. The money that they're talking about isn't outrageous for a player of his ability and his age and all the rest of it. Most importantly, it strengthens us in a period where we're pretty weak up front, and it weakens a relegation rival. Because
it's true.
For like best will in the world to what's that, Maxwell Cornet. He started quite well, but it's his first season in the Premier League, and Burnley don't have a lot of good players, and Chris Wood is a reliable striker who, as Paul says, double figures in the last four seasons. If he gets like double figures in the second half of the season for us, then amazing, brilliant, because Wilson will at some stage come back, which means that if we're drawing a game or losing a game by the odd goal, bring on a fucking wrecking ball.
Yeah, we've not had that for a while.
Hopefully he is one of a few signings in January. I can see all the arguments for him. I'm not disappointed by it. I think there's a realisation probably from our owners as well that it's not easy to get who you want, and we, especially considering the last game, we do desperately need some players in before some very important matches. So we just need to get who we can get hold of.
I think looking at Burnley as well, but they're a team that play two up top. Corne's off to the African Cup of Nations. They've only got Vidra, which means they're going to have to roll the dice on spending this money on a new striker. And as we've found out, it is quite hard to buy a striker in the January transfer window.
Well, there aren't any strikers.
How have we found a striker?
As I said on the last episode,
I mean, the only reason that we're getting him is because he's got a release clause. There is no way Burnley would release
apparently,
him.
Apparently, I hate to debunk Dave, but apparently the release clause only applies in the summer.
There seems to be some confusion online about if there is a release clause or not at the minute. But it would seem mad for Burnley to sell him unless they've identified someone they desperately want to replace him. But even then, you would think financially it makes more sense to hold on to him till the summer than sell him to a relegation rival.
Yeah, so I can't see the logic in them selling us if they didn't have to. Because I can't imagine that they're going to go off and sign, I don't fucking know, somebody else who's better than Chris Wood for less than 20 million quid.
Well,
maybe he's lost a leg and they don't, they're not telling anyone.
Maybe.
Yeah.
One thing we are learning is that a lot of the talk, you know, a month or two ago, we were looking at a list of targets of players who are available or could be available. And you do sort of forget that there are other football clubs out there who might want those players as well, and who haven't just lost to Cambridge and aren't bottom of the Premier League. So maybe look like more appetizing destinations. You know, Coutinho, we've been talking about, he's off to Villa. Lingard. Luca Digne is off to Villa. Looks like Lingard's going to Spurs. I'm hearing my sources telling me. I'm hearing. I read it. Tweet. There's a lot of the big name strikers. It seems like Arsenal are after a striker at the moment, and people are going to choose them before they choose us, you would have to expect. Pensworld says, bearing in mind no one apart from footballing hipsters like Dave Watson have heard of Sven Botman off. He like literally actually at in Sven Botman on his Twitter account here. So I think it's a bit mean thing to do. bearing in mind... no one apart from footballing hipsters like Dave Watson have heard of Sven Botman a week ago. Could you come up with a footballer name generator which all fans would convince themselves would be the answer to our centre-back, striker, central midfielder woes, i.e. Axel Legrand, combative box-to-box midfielder who plays in the Dutch League, worth 45 million, essentially. Please discuss for 30 minutes the fact that widespread delusion is central to the experience of being a football fan. I mean, I do see what he's getting at there, which I think I spoke about on the last podcast, which is there is a weird thing about being a football fan where we all get very strong opinions about these footballers who none of us had heard of 2 months ago, and then we don't get them and we never hear of them ever again.
There's like a 19-year-old.
A couple of weeks in 2011 or whatever, they were the solution to all our problems. We really, really, what we need to get in, we desperately need Axel Legrand. We need Axel Legrand. Why are we not getting Axel Legrand? I can totally see him fitting right into our side. Axel Legrand. And then, you know, we don't get
him. Yeah. Well, there's this French 19-year-old who we've been linked with. He's meant to be the next Mbappe. Nobody, I guarantee, had heard of him before this. And it could go nowhere.
So I'd never heard of him, saw that these links went on my, you know, went down in that rabbit warren and watched videos of him, looked at his stats and all the rest of it. It must be his agent talking, because, yes, he's in a purple patch of form at the minute and he's got decent technique. But you know when you see a footballer and you can see a spark of something special, where you look at him and you go, like, he's maybe in a poor team, or he's like, he's not in a great run of form, but he's got either the vision, the ability, or the athleticism, whatever, you can see it. In him, he's got a little bit of a technique, but he just reminds me of someone like Abel Tarapt. You know, just a bit show pony, not... It's not enough end product. He's in a purple run of form, but if you look at the goals, few of them are penalties, and quite a lot of it is because of either bad defending or the ball's been put on an absolute plate for him. So
you're following, listening at home, we're talking about a striker that we haven't named. I don't know who he is. Something that we can't even remember his name.
It's a palindromic name. It's Ekitike.
Oh, right, yes.
So it's E-K-I-T-I-K-E.
Right, I've seen that name floating around. Who knows? But it is true. There's a lot of these players. Sven Botman, will we ever hear of him again? We talked about him intently for a long time, and then that's it.
I don't think that deal's dead, you know.
Okay.
I think it might be the tail end of the window where we get a closure on it, but I don't think it's dead.
I think we need to wait till we find out what Fergus is hearing.
I'm hearing. Thames The, which is a Twitter name, apparently. There was a lot of talk about the new owners building a network of clubs, with Inter being mentioned a lot. What do you guys think? There's a lot of bad grammar in the tweets I'm getting tonight, guys. Please, guys, proofread your tweets. What do you guys think is happening? Oh, no, actually, I just read that wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's fine.
It's actually fine. I just read that wrong. There's either a lot of bad grammar or I've just said...
Well, that ketamine's kicking in.
Or I've just said bad ketamine.
I wouldn't be surprised if the new owners were looking at the Manchester City model. You know, I think it's called the City Group. They bought up like New York City FC. They've got Melbourne City FC or whatever. And they've just loads of clubs all over the planet who feed into Manchester City. I wouldn't be surprised if the Saudis looked at that and thought, that's not a bad idea, that.
But so, what if, I mean, if Inter is being mentioned, what if it turns out they turned up, they watched the Inter game, the Cambridge game, and they thought, do you know what? I think this should probably be the feeder club. Maybe we shouldn't make this. Maybe this one shouldn't be top of the pyramid.
I think the only saving us in that situation is the Premier League, the quality of it as a league. Otherwise, you would look at those two teams and think, one of those needs to be fed to the other.
It'd be interesting if they do buy Inter and we both get into Europe. Because I don't know what the rules are about one owner owning two clubs.
That's happened with a couple of Red Bull teams, though, hasn't it? Salzburg and whoever the other Red Bull one are.
Well, luckily that isn't something we'll have to worry about just yet. So before I move on, this is your opportunity. Are there any other transfer targets that you would like to talk about? Or just
Aaron, it's all gone a bit quiet on Aaron Ramsey, but I really hope
apparently he's got COVID.
Oh, of course, yeah. But I really hope we sign him. I think, in a weird way, it'd be interesting to see if the Watford result makes a difference. Like, if Watford beat us, when we start to look closer to relegation, you'd have to think that makes us less attractive to more players. If we beat Watford and we're out of the relegation zone, that might make us more of a draw. I wonder how much effect that would have on players.
Sure. So, I mean, any player that comes to us right now in the situation we're in has to be contemplating that the club getting relegated is definitely a possibility. So if that's a big issue for them, they'll either not come to us or they'll stick a relegation clause in or something. Do you know what I mean? That's whatever the result against Watford, that's... You have to be contemplating that.
If we're not in the relegation zone and they have a choice between, say, us and Palace, if we look like we're very capable of playing our way out of the relegation zone, then we're the more interesting proposition there, I think.
Whereas
if they're six points adrift, then it's Palace.
If they're not intently following the Premier League because, you know, If Axel Legrand is sitting in some cafe and picks up Gazzetta dello Sport, or whatever it's called, and looks up the Premier League table, and we're just out of the relegation zone, then maybe that will work in our favour. Any other players, targets? You've mentioned Aaron Ramsey.
Well, we need a centre back.
Yeah, I still think, because I don't think the Botman deal's dead in the water. We've been linked with Benoit Badiashile, but he's out for like 3 or 5 weeks. We're linked with, who else are we linked with?
Who's that? Like
Rob Holden.
Diego
Carlos. We've been linked with an absolute stack of them. What that says to me is that we are definitely on the hunt for at least one centre back. I would hope to pull in somebody of that caliber, but I would accept James Tarkowski, like not him, but like someone like him.
I hope that the way that we're looking at it is, and maybe this is the case with Chris Wood, that it's like, well, we know that we need a striker. We can't afford to wait till the end of January for one specific target. So we'll get this one while we can. And if a great striker becomes available, we'll get them. And I hope that it's the same with a centre-back. You know, if Botman is the number one target, well, if we can pick up another centre-back for 15 million or something, it improves our squad, then we'll get them. And then who knows, we might get a 40 million centre-back as well.
I do think as well, but the way the market is across Europe is in our favour, the financial difficulty a lot of teams are in. Yeah, it'll probably be a window where we're actually a lot more active than we have been on the last day. We're not going to be scrabbling around trying to loan Hamza Chowdhury at the last minute. I could see us doing something mental. I think the more frustrated our board get with not being able to sign anyone, they might just, on the last day of the window, just splurge 80 million on a complete unknown quantity.
Well, there's a do you know the Sunderland Till I Die Netflix documentary?
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched it?
Yeah.
There's a scene when their owner is, it's deadline day. It's like the hour before midnight or whatever the deadline is. And what's his name?
Will Grigg.
Will Grigg. And the manager keeps on telling him he's not worth 2 million or whatever the number is. And you can just see he's just too built up into like the excitement of desperately wanting to sign a player that day. So he's just basically playing Football Manager. He's an owner and he really wants to sign a striker. And he just keeps on upping the price and upping the price. So that, yes, that could be the case with us, except instead of it being 2 million, we find ourselves spending 80 million on Martial or something.
I think there is a benefit to doing buying like a Chris Wood or something now. And yeah, like we're saying, another centre back. But like then going, as you say, like keeping up a bit of our powder dry to have a top tier striker at the end of a top tier player at the end of the window. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we need as good as we can get in now, and we can't bring in 8 players and completely disrupt the squad, but we need a few.
We need players now, but there's no point. I've seen us linked with players where you think they'd be okay, but there's no point signing them now for the benefit of having them in a week sooner than we could get somebody better.
Right. Yeah, sure.
It's like when fans desperately wanted us to get Charlie Austin, felt we had to get him. You just thought there's no point spending that money that could be spent on a different player who is going to be better. The difference this time is we will actually sign players in the positions we need.
Yeah. I mean, there's that young kid, that Hugo Ekitiki or whatever his name is. They're talking about like 30, 35 million for him, and you can go and get Patrick Schick for, I think it's around 35 million. So why would you go for this unproven kid when, like Paul's saying, you could spend that money on somebody a bit better, and it might
apparently
be at the end of the window.
He's not coming to us, Patrick Schick, apparently.
Is he not? Who says that? Where have you heard that?
I'm hearing he's not coming to us. What I'm saying is I read it in a tweet.
Right.
But I think it is true that a lot of these names that we've been floating around, we're just not a consideration for them.
Yeah.
Because there are other clubs in the Premier League. Yes, there's not that many clubs spending, but you know, you choose between Arsenal and Villa, for example, and us, you're going to go to one of them. You know?
I think as well, if you want to raise the profile of your client or try and get them a move or try and get them a better contract to their current club, who do you link them with? It's us at the minute.
Mm-hmm. But most £50 million players at the moment will have better options than us. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They'll all have better options than us if there are people out there interested. But I think Paul's point was that if an agent says, oh, one of the teams interested is the richest club on the planet who have enough room in their FFP to spend an absolute fuck ton in January if they want to, that means that their player is going to be able to demand more because they can lie and say, well, Newcastle will offer us.
They are, but when it comes down to it, I think a lot of those players will still make a choice that's better for their career. They might use us to up their wages and their fees, but we ultimately won't actually get that player. But you know, who knows?
I think look at Sven Botman, for example. He's a very highly rated player who in the summer people expect to go to Liverpool or that equivalent of club. He's still liking Instagram posts with him being linked to us and is keen on a move to us. So you sort of think we're a good proposition. But certain clubs, I think it's quite clever that we're looking at players who are in like the last 6 months of their contract a lot of the time because other clubs just won't spend money on those players knowing that they could be free next summer, whereas we will.
Sure. Well, hopefully there'll be lots more to talk about. It is exciting to be in a transfer window and not just hoping that we'll get, I don't know, Danny Rose on loan.
It's quite exhausting as well. I've found myself refreshing Twitter all the time to the point where it's getting quite addictive. I think I might start locking my phone in a box for the 1st of February.
Stephen, I'm going to move on from transfers now. Stephen Keane says, we all know that the Watford game is massive. Do you think it's as simple as win we stay up and lose go down? Is it as simple as that? Dave?
No.
Paul, is it as simple as when we go up? Win we stay up, lose we go down? Is it as simple as that?
No.
Okay, that's the answer. Nothing's as simple as that, but it is a very, very important game, right, guys?
It's very big, yeah.
It's not the be-all and end-all, though. There are still plenty of other games. I think it has to be viewed in the context of where we're at, who's fit, and all the rest of it. If we can register Chris Wood in time, I'm a lot more confident about being Watford, who have lost seven on the bounce. Plus, that's a Watford side without Ismail Assar and two or three other players who are at the African Cup of Nations. So it's a weakened
That's right, they'll be without Dennis or Denis.
No, Dennis has been excused by the Nigerian side.
That's right.
So he's available to play.
He is on a scoring streak.
Yeah.
But
they have lost seven in a row. So they're not in terrible form, realistically. And Cambridge aside, we've been playing okay. We've just come up against really good opposition.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to see, after the Cambridge game, the bar is low, but I'd like to see Lascelles back in. I sort of feel like...
Really?
Well, in terms of... It's the case of him and Emil Kraft at centre-back. We've only got Cher, really. Fernandez isn't available. Clark's not available.
Okay.
Dummett was on the bench, but I think it would be a big call to give him his first start in however long.
Oh, let's get a centre-back quickly, please.
Yes, it does feel
depressing.
Can we see if there's a release clause for James Tarkovsky and get him?
I'm so wary of making.
Oh, it'd be so funny.
We all predicted a win against Cambridge because it was a case of surely we'll beat Cambridge. But I do feel that we are like, it doesn't matter who we play, we do find a way to not win. We always adjust our performance so that you can say, well, we created chances and we did this and we did that, but we didn't quite win. But Watford is a very, very winnable game. Paul, do you want to give me a prediction?
1-1.
1-1. Dave?
2-1 to us.
2-1 to us. I'm thinking stupidly because it's as if what I say will have some influence on the result. But in my head, it's like if I predict a win, we won't win. So, against Watford, I mean, surely. However, I'm going to predict 2-2.
Wow.
2-2. Yeah.
I genuinely think Chris Wood, if he's registered in time and can play, I think that we will. I think he'll score. I also think that Trippier will score.
But be honest with yourself.
Mm.
Is your opinion of Chris Wood influenced by the fact that we're about to sign him? If we were not ever linked with Chris Wood, it never came into it, and I asked your opinion on Chris Wood in no relation to Newcastle, not as a potential signing ever, just your opinion on Chris Wood, do you think it would be exactly the same as it is now? Do you think you would be predicting that Chris Wood would score this Saturday, who scored 3 goals this season?
I would say that if you ask my opinion on Chris Wood, I'd say he's a bang average Premier League striker.
Okay.
The trouble is we need a bang average Premier League striker right now.
Fair enough. And hopefully our new bang average Premier League striker will get us a goal this Saturday. Fair enough. Yes. I don't want to be down on it. I think he's, an all right signing.
I think as well, let's remember the last game before Cambridge, the Man U one, which we deserve to win. And we've improved the squad with Trippier and hopefully Wood since then.
That's a point. Trippier, free kicks, corners, delivery, and now somebody to get on the end of them.
Is Chris Wood a more exciting signing than Dwight Gayle was when we signed him?
No.
Similar, I would say.
Yeah.
So
Dwight Gayle was an exciting signing for the Championship because he's sort of guaranteed 20 goals in the Championship if he stays fit. Chris Wood, if he's fit, is almost guaranteed. I mean, I saw on Twitter earlier, the strikers that have got 10 goals a season for the last 4 years, it's Chris Wood, and then you're looking at like Son, Salah, Kane, I can't remember who else. There's not many.
Yeah, it is slightly misleading because their double figures are like closer to 20 and his double figures are closer to 10. But they're not playing for
Burnley. Burnley are not an attacking team. So I think getting double figures 4 seasons in a row for a very defensive team.
He's all right. Over the years, I've had him in my fantasy team a couple of times. He's
just a bang average Premier League striker, which is infinitely better than what we've got on the bench.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I think as well, if you're Callum Wilson, you see him coming in, you're sort of thinking, you're not thinking, my number 9 shirt's in trouble here.
No.
But it, like you say before, it gives us a good option from the bench.
Hopefully. Hopefully we've got another few signings coming, but hopefully we've got another signing coming in January who's going to be even more exciting than Trippier and Chris Wood, right?
Yeah. Right. Everything I've seen is that the Trippier signing was like
great signing.
On the cards for a while. The Chris Wood is like not a panic buy, but a fuck, we need to address this immediately. right, we've addressed this.
I was thinking of putting fuck at the start of the sentence. Panic buy.
Okay, maybe. But the rest of the business is just like longer term plans, ongoing stuff. So we are still looking at like another striker in addition to Chris Wood.
Yeah.
More like centre backs, a left back, a centre midfielder. We are still, by all accounts, you know, still shopping around.
Yeah. So Chris Wood is a reassuring one in a way, because it shows whoever's making decisions has a level of pragmatism.
Yeah, and then, towards the end of the window, loans might come into play as well, mightn't they?
Yeah.
And they could have come into play at any point, but yeah. We might find it on deadline day, we get Martial on loan or something. Who knows? Who knows? All right, let's leave it there. I'm sure there'll be plenty more transfer talk next week. But in the meantime, thank you very much, Dave Watson.
Thank you, Fergus Craig.
Thank you to you, Paul Doolan.
Thank you.
And thank you to you, the Newcastle Natter listener. Goodbye!
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.